well, the Lord took him at the right time. Amen. So we just trust the Lord that way and want to trust him that way more and more each day. We'll go ahead and get into the scriptures tonight at midweek service. I don't want to hold you real long. And one of the biggest mistakes a minister can make is to say that. Say that I don't want to hold you real long. Because we know that it really has to do with the pulling of the people in their hearts. And it does make a difference. I can tell you it makes a big difference when believers are here and they're pulling. And everybody has their own draw. And it just makes all the difference in the world. And you could put a mule up here and the drawing of the people could make him speak. And so we know that. So just thank you for being here and you just pull on the word and we'll get through this. So tonight I want to talk to you about God's attributes. We'll begin reading in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Read down to verse 48. This is a portion of what we call a Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is speaking and he says, "You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." It's easy to live that way, isn't it? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. And let me just back up and say something. You remember Moses rehearsed before he left. He gave to the children of Israel. He rehearsed everything that had happened to them. And they did this and all the way up. And he was about to leave. And he said, "Now, don't you add to or take away anything from this." He said, "But there is the Lord your God will raise up a prophet among your brethren like unto me. And him you shall hear." And he just told him, "Now don't you change nothing. Don't you add to, don't you take away. But God's going to raise up one day, and you better listen to him." In other words, when he comes, he's going to change a few things. He's going to magnify it, and he's going to straighten it out and make it clarity. And that was Jesus. So Jesus would come along and say, "You know, it's written in your law, but I say. And it's written in your law, but I say." And here it is again. "You've heard that it said, eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. But I say unto you." So you see, that falls right under what was saying, Moses was saying. So we better listen to this above and beyond eye for eye and tooth for tooth. We better listen to this because this is what matters.
Right.
"But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also." He's telling you to do that even if he's not asking for your cloak. Let him have your cloak also. "And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, as we come to this portion of the service, it's just such a blessing to read these words and to think upon them and what they mean. What they mean to us, and even though it's just centuries and thousands, a couple of thousand years later from the time you spoke these, Lord, they're still just as real today. They're your word and they don't pass away. Asking, Lord, that you just allow us to look into these things tonight, and through your Holy Spirit, you would just impart something into our hearts that would make these words come alive and show us how, Lord, that through a surrendered life to you, that these things can be so. We ask, God, that you bless each one that's present. We ask, God, that you bless them that are streaming, those that will hear later, perhaps from the website or whatever. We ask, God, that you'd speak this word right into their hearts also. And we ask it in the all-sufficient name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you may be seated. to the attributes of God. I don't think back in Pentecost, I don't remember anybody ever saying anything about the attributes of God, but when I begin to listen to the prophet, then that's something he would say quite often.
Yeah.
Because, and a matter of fact, I remember having never really heard the word attribute before or ever knew anything about it until I was in a junior high school, I think it was, and it was a computer class. The first school around here, they got computers and programming, and I got the first class of the day, so I was one of the first of 20 or 30 students that got to start programming. And I remember in that class that the instructor talking about things that they put on, you know, things you program on the screen, that they had attributes. I never knew what he talked about, you know. And so I remember that was when I was exposed to that word. But God has attributes, and it's characteristics about him is what it is. We know that. And so, you know, God is God. We sing that song, you know. Now, the words I remember when I was growing up is a little different than what we sang here, but he's God all over the ocean. He's God all over the sea. He's God all over creation. He's God all over me. That was one of the verses. Remember that? But because God is God.
Yeah.
But, you know, Brother Graham said, God really is just an object of worship.
Yeah.
You can worship your car, and many people do, and that makes it a God to you. But but what makes God so awesome is that he is the supreme being. And being supreme means that, you know, you take maybe a sports player or something like that, these guys that like sports, you have a ball player that's so much better than anybody else, he's considered the best, the supreme player or whatever. God is God because he is able to do and be things that no one else can even come close to. He's in the class of his own because he is God, and no one else fits in that class. And the only one who can have the attributes that God has is those who he shares it with.
That's right.
So God has these attributes, and he's so wonderful and so great because he has these attributes that no one else has. He can do things that no one else can do. And so we say quite often, he is the only creator. There's the only one form of eternal life, and that's Zoe. That's God's own life. And he's the only one that is a creator, and because of that, he's the only one who's a healer. Your doctor's not a healer. He, as Brother Rem said, he'd set the bones, but your body's got to do the healing. And I've said this many times before. They found out that you could take penicillin or some medicine and give it to your body, and your body will take that and use it and accelerate healing.
Yeah.
But who told that body how to take that and use that?
Right?
Because they could present all the things in the world too that the body won't use, and it won't do no good. So there's something already programmed in there. God told your body how to respond to these things. And then when he's through with here on earth, no amount of all those things that your body would normally respond to is going to work because it's time to go.
Yeah.
Right? So he's the only one that is a healer. And he's so... You know, he's the only one that's a creator. He's the only one healer. That's just the way he is. And so he's like no other. No one has the wisdom that God has. I just thinking back on that story of Solomon when the two women who were harlots and they were, you know, lived in the same house, and they both had little babies that was born to them, and one of them rolled over and slept on the one and killed it. And when she woke in the morning and saw that her baby was dead, she took it and put it in the bed with the other woman and took her baby. And of course, when the other woman woke up and thought it was her child and then considered further and realized it wasn't, and so they were fighting over the living child. And you know the story, how they went before Solomon and this and said, "Oh, you know, this is mine. Oh, that's mine, you know." And I was thinking, What would have happened if that case would have come before me or before you?
Yeah.
What kind of tactics would you have tried to come up or try to figure out which one it really was? Nowadays, you'd use DNA testing, right? You could just do that and settle it.
Yeah.
But how would you have done that? I mean, we would have tried everything in the world, you know, to try and figure this out. But God had wisdom and I know how to do it. And he had imparted that to Solomon. And of course, Solomon said, "Well, just bring this sword and we'll cut this baby in half and give half to the one, half to the other." And of course, the real mother, her heart cried out and said, "Let the other one have the child." And he knew that that was truly the mother. And so you see the wisdom of God, and you see where Jesus, he goes up and there's a particular chapter there in the scriptures where they challenge him and they're talking to him, and he just makes some fools out of them talking to him because of the wisdom he had. And the scripture said they didn't mess with him no more after that. They didn't try to challenge him no more because he they knew better too, because every time they'd open their mouth, they'd just make a fool out of him, you know? And so he has the wisdom, and nobody has wisdom like him. And that wisdom can work through his people when you need it, in times when you need it. Nobody has the long suffering that God has to bear long with someone, to have mercy toward people like his mercy. You know, his mercy endureth forever. Right? Every day his mercies are new. I get up in the morning and that scripture comes to mind a lot. Every day his mercies are new. I don't care how much you fell flat on your face the day before, if you repented of it, you get up and every day is a new day with the Lord. And so his mercies are new. Nobody has the value of mercy. Think of the value of that. Men that hold millions and billions of dollars would give everything they have for a little bit of mercy that they've spurned. But God has great, great, abundant mercy and grace, unmerited favor. That he had somehow the ability to look down on you and I, and when we had no desire for him, that he would give us favor that we had not earned. Unmerited favor. And of course, nobody has love like God has. That he would give himself for us even when we had no desire for him. And so he has all kinds of attributes like that, and no one can touch those attributes like he has. And since he's so magnificent in the way he is in those things, then what would he be in judgment? What would he be in wrath? You know, the scripture said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so if he can outdo all other beings by universes away of all those things, what would it be like if we spurned his mercy and his grace that is so abundant to stand there before Almighty God as a sinner and stand before him in judgment and receive of his wrath? You talk about bones coming out of their joints and people shaking, and that's exactly what it would be. And so it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But God is so great that he can forget. And so we know the phrase that God has, the sea of his forgetfulness, that when you repent of your sins, you put something under the blood, that he takes that and casts it as far as east from west. Well, how far is east from west? I don't know. The point there is there's no measure to it. And whatever it is, if there was, he's cast it farther than that. But he takes those things and puts them in the sea of his forgetfulness. You remember, someone asked Brother Branham, so, well, Brother Branham, how do you know that that's under the blood? When somebody comes in the prayer line and they've put something under the blood, how do you know that? And he said, that's real simple. God don't show it to me. Right? Perry Green, I've told you many times, his testimony where he talked about having thoughts that he shouldn't have about maybe some lady he knew when he was in high school or something like that, and he would go down the road just kind of thinking in ways he shouldn't, and he'd get tired, you know, he'd repent of it. He'd say, God, I'm sorry. Then it happened again, and he'd repent, and it happened again, and he'd repent. And so he wanted to talk to Brother Branham about it. And one day, a time arose where he could. Brother Branham said, I think you have something you want to talk to me about, brother. And he said, yes, and he told him, and Brother Branham told him this. He said, well, Brother Perry, he said, every time you come to God with that, it's the first time you've done it. Because he had repented of it before. And so now that's I say that because that's an attribute of God. You know, we could forgive someone, but we can't forget. And if we're not careful, if you don't truly forgive, then that forgetfulness, you use that as a tool, to remembrance, I mean. And so, but that's an attribute of God, to be able to forget and not bring that back, not be able to see it, for you to be able to stand before him as though you never did it in the first place. Can you imagine that? that if we could just grasp the magnitude of our failures and of the putrefied condition of humanity, and yet that when it's put under the blood of Jesus Christ, we can stand before the King of the entire everything, the universe and everything, stand before Him and not be fearful. Just a holy reverence. That's all, just a reverence to Him. A reverential fear like that, but not fear of judgment. And so that's a great attribute, to be able to forget and to put those things in the sea of His forgetfulness. And so I just, you know, you could go on and on and on about the attributes of God, but you realize that God has a family, the family of heaven. He has a family. He has children, sons and daughters of God. And because of that, you realize the attributes that are in God,
yes,
He has given those to His children.
That's right.
When a man and a woman get together and they have a child, that child has attributes in them, has characteristics in them that tie them back to the parents.
Right.
They're going to act like their parents. They have five fingers and five toes in each hand and foot. The child does because parents do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have two legs because parents do. They'll start walking and talking just because they're parents, see? They don't start barking. They don't start running around like a horse, drinking out of... You see what I'm saying? They have attributes in them. And even though as a child, when they're born, they may not walk, they may not talk, they may not have the intelligence, but every gene that is required to do those things, every gene that's in there that's required to make them be like Papa, or like mama, is already in that child. It's not like that the child, well, after they grow and they're 3 or 4 years old or 10 years old or 15 years old, that every time they get a little older, another gene gets in there, another thing gets in. No, it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
It's already there.
Right.
It just has to grow into maturity.
That's right.
See? And so when we see that God, nobody would argue and say, well, God don't have great attributes. No, He has great attributes. We just talked about some of them. And He has put in us the spiritual genetics. If you've been born again, got the Holy Ghost in you, and you've had an experience with God and He lives in you, then you've got in you the genetic material that once it has grown to maturity can be just like God.
Yeah.
Be just like Him. To have mercy, to have grace, to love and be long-suffering. And that the power of healing can work through it. Right? Doesn't make you a healer, but it means that through your obedience to Him, that God that now lives in you is now working through you. So we're not trying to take, just like I see say so many times, that let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And Paul's saying that. Let that be in there. Why? Because it wants to be in there, but you've got to let it come in. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God. You mean God wants me to accept that idea to come into me, that I'm in the form of God? Yes? You follow me?
Right.
Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now we'd all look back at Jesus and say, well, He was God. He was God in the flesh. It's not, it wasn't robbery. But what about when Paul's talking about us and telling us the same thing, that you've got to let that same mind be in you? That God wants you to walk in this earth in a place where you know that you are the form of God on this earth, and that it's not robbery for you to be in that position, to be equal with God. And I realize through the ages they haven't come to that. We would come to the fullness of the word here at the end time where these things are so. And that's what I'm getting at, is that those attributes are there, and through the ages they haven't been able to manifest fully, but we're at the end where the bride, the church, is to be the full measure of the stature of Christ. So all the genetics, all the genes, everything that's in there should be coming out now as we come into this mature expression of Him. That His mercy and His grace and His ability to do all the things and to change every situation. That's the thing they said about Brother Andrews. Every situation, He knew how to handle it. Well, it wasn't Him. It was the God that was living in Him, a full attribute for this day. And so the child has that. And so being that we are the sons and daughters of God, then those attributes, We are guaranteed to be working in our lives. That doesn't mean everybody's going to raise the dead, but you might. But you, in some form or fashion, these things will be working through you. And what I want to show you is kind of point out here is that what makes God so wonderful is that He has these things that nobody else can do, and He wants that to come into you.
Yeah.
So your life should have attributes about it that nobody else expresses, that no other religion can express. No other people, no governments, no whatever, no training from whatever discipline it is, whether it be martial arts or studying and philosophy or science, nobody can touch these things because it only comes from Almighty God as an attribute to His children. But the thing I'm getting at is that it is to be present in His people in these last days for sure. When we come to that maturity, that full mature attribute should be on display like our Father. Amen. And so that is why He calls us to be like Him. So, you know, I want my children to grow up. They're growing now, but I'm just using this as a phrase. But I want them to grow up to be mature and to be well-balanced, regulated adults, living right, doing the right thing, and being a good example and all those things. I want that, and so guess what I do over the years? I want to call them. I want to be an example to them. I want to tutor them. I want to express to them what's right and what's wrong, because I want them to grow up and fulfill those positions of truth and living that way, right? So a father he won't just call for his children just to be whatever. He's going to call for that child to come up and be what he knows is in that child and what that child can be. So God's the same way. So throughout the ages, he's allowed the church to be. But here at this end time, rest assured, God is calling a people to come to that full measure, the stature of Jesus Christ. So this is why He calls for us to be that. And He says, be ye therefore perfect as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And I'm going to tell you, and we probably said it ourselves, each one of us probably, well, God knows we're not perfect. He knows we can't be perfect or whatever, but His Word says, be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, I just want to tell you something. I don't believe that God would be telling us that if it wasn't there for us. I don't believe God would be telling us that if He had not provided it. And I don't believe He'd be telling us that if it just wasn't there available and we just couldn't be it. But he's telling us because that's exactly what He wants. What is it? He wants those attributes that belong to Him. He wants it to come down and to express itself in you. And so when you look at these attributes, when they begin to be lived out in a person's life, you're looking at a life that is expressing that perfect life of Jesus Christ. So perfection is really completion. And really completion to you and I isn't that we never make a mistake so much or whatever, but it's coming into that place of surrender, total surrender, total complete surrender to God, to where He can move through us at any time and any way He wants to. And so this is why, you know, and I remember I was preaching for Danny Steeman one time years ago, and this thought came to me here about the Sermon on the Mount. And you know, in Sunday school, and you know, as a kid and all that, you know, yeah, let's read about Jesus and the Sermon on the Mount, you know, and if somebody, you know, and yeah, that's story for kids. And I remember saying there, it come to me when I was preaching down there, and I remembered that, is it for kids? Is it really for kids? How many of you could, when somebody slap you, you're going to turn their cheek and let their cheek and let them slap you again? How many's going to do these things that we're talking about here? Because we in ourselves, we can't do this, right? I'll tell you, somebody slap you, you're going to get mad, you're probably going to slap them back, right? That's in the flesh. But because it's easy for man, it's easy for humans, the fallen race, to fit in this category, it's easy for us to only do good for those who do good for us. But He's telling us here that if you want the attributes of God to live through you, You're going to have to rise above all these things that's so easy to do in the flesh and begin to manifest the characteristic that God has to have love and mercy and long-suffering and all the things. And that's why Jesus is saying this. That's why he's telling us this right here in this portion of the scriptures, that you've got to do these things, and that you know, if you only do good to those who are good to you, well, everybody else does that. But he wants you to be therefore perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect. So he tells us things like, don't render evil for evil, and you know, give more than's asked of you. If somebody sues you for your cloak, give them your coat too. You know? So, love your enemies. And if you only do good for those that are good to you, that's nothing, because everybody does that. Brother Graham tells us in Influence, he said, reverence. We ought to honor one another, respect one another as brother and sister, and love one another with undying love. You say, well, I just can't. He said, well, just stay here a little longer and then you will like people too. You'll love those who don't love you. That's really a good sign of Christianity, when you can, from the heart, love those who does not love you. Love the unlovable. Jesus said, if you just do favors for those that do favors for you, well, the publicans do the same thing. But see, you must be kind to those who are unkind to you. Do good to those that would do evil to you. And always remember that. Keep that before you, that God is watching you. And remember, God was good to you when you were evil to him. While you were sinners, yet sinners, Christ died for you. So that's something to think about. You remember when the children of Israel came out and he gave them instructions about the strangers, because remember, you were strangers one time. Right? And somebody that's in a condition, well, remember, you was in that condition. See? So he tells us these things like this. And he says, that's what in the quote, God was good to us when we weren't good to him. That's an attribute of God. And now he's telling us, now you live that. You let that life come in you, and you let it put your flesh under, and you live that way. And the only way that can be manifest that it's really there is that you're actually going to go through time where people's going to do you wrong when it's not just. And the opportunity is going to present itself for you to represent God the way you should. And you know, many times people fail, but you see what I'm talking about. How could you ever know? How could the word ever be tested in your life unless it's challenged?
Right?
Right? How could this right here ever happen unless it's challenged?
Right.
And I've seen it. I've seen people express the love of God when they were being evilly treated and so forth. I've told stories about it here before. And so Brother Bam tells us these things. And I love the message, because he had such a way of bringing these scriptures out and bringing it forward and helping us see that it's us too. It belongs to us. So he tells you all these things, you know, that if they will sue you and all these things, then here's what you do, because your Father in heaven did that. And you might say to yourself, why? You know, you really, you know, you just want somebody to run over me? I can't defend myself. I can't do this. I can't do that. Why would God be asking us to do that? Mm-hmm. Right? And you remember Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. Because
right.
If it was, then my subject would fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. So I'm not going to fight for this world. And I say all the time, I've said it, you know, again, I told you sometimes I'm negative and I shouldn't be. But I'm like, you know, who would want to be president of a country that's basically the Titanic? Who's wanting to move furniture around and fight over a better position than the Titanic? You know? And that's true. But why struggle so much for a kingdom that's passing away? I mean, this is passing away. And yeah, we want to take care of it and all that, but sometimes I think we try to pamper it too much.
Right.
When this right here ought to be put under.
Right.
Right? That's what you do when you're fasting and praying and all that kind of stuff. But why? Why struggle for something? Why get up in arms to try and have something out here in this world that you know is passing away, that it can't be fixed? Like our present situation we have in this world with the governments of this world and all the different things. Can't be fixed. They can't get their heads screwed on straight. It's not all their fault, but it is their fault. It's the hour that we live in, and it's that cycle Brother M talked about. That cycle has come back around, and this nation and this world is falling apart. And it's here, and from that standpoint, they can't help it, but they're a product of the things they embrace. See? But why fight for that? So Jesus is saying, look, you know, someone can sue you for your coat, and you're going to turn around and try and re-sue back and get it back from them? And he's like, don't bother with it. Don't bother with that, because the kingdom of God is not part of this world. Don't fight for that. Right? And that's the thing he's telling us. You be what you're supposed to be. You be Christ to this generation. And even if they're spitting in your face and all that, then that the life of Christ wants to be merciful. And when, you know, he said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord.
Right.
I'll do the repaying.
Right.
Don't you do the repaying. I'll take care of this.
Uh-huh.
And when he says it's done and vengeance gets poured out, he'll take care of it. But he didn't tell us to do it, right? And so you still hear all the time, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, go after this person that did something wrong. I know they do something wrong, and there's judges out there to take care of all that. That's fine. Let that be taken care of. But as a believer, we cannot harbor those kind of things in our heart. We have to have forgiveness, feel, you know, be sorrowful and merciful to those and pray for them and all the things the scriptures tell us. And so, in order to live the attributes of God, it has to be his attributes coming through you, and the only way you can be perfect is that way, is for him to live through you.
Right.
So remember, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13:8, love, charity, never faileth. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. All those things pass away. When it all comes right down to it and there's nothing left on this earth but just smoldering ruins, the love of God will still be living on. And those that God's love has been projected to, it makes a difference in their life. They'll be living. They'll be living on too. Remember what Brother Ram said about divine love? Remember the bull that was charging him? And a love came over Brother Branham. The bull had already killed one or two people. I don't remember. But that love came over him. And he said, I actually loved it. And the bull stopped and went over and laid down. And he come back walking later. And that took some courage and faith to walk back through that pasture again. I'd go around it. But Brother Branham walked right past him again.
Yep.
And there he lay. Remember the hornets? He's out mowing and he bumps it. They had a right to be stirred up. They were trying to protect themselves.
Yeah.
And a love came over him enough for him to say, I'm sorry
that
I disturbed you. And they went right back in, single file, just to right back in there, see? Because love is the greatest power there is. And when this world out here has been given all these things like that, people need to see something. And you can't give it if you don't have it. But you do have it in attribute form. If you're a Christian, if you're a believer, it's in there. It's just got to grow. And you've got to take and know the choice. I believe Jesus had to do the same thing. When they jerked the hair out of his beard, I'm sure that he had to make a decision not to turn around and try, you know, to do that. So, if you remember the maniac that tried to challenge Brother Branham up there in Washington, I believe it was, Oregon, whichever place it was, Tacoma. It already broke another preacher's jaw or something, went in going into services and physically harming preachers standing in the pulpit. He comes in that service there where Brother Brennan's at with all those thousands. If you ever see the picture of that auditorium, it's huge. I think it advertises the largest wooden inside wooden dome structure at the time, I don't know if it is now, it's huge. And I think that's where it was happening. It may not have, but he came in and challenged Brother Branham. And there's policemen there. And you preach a gospel, and then here this guy comes, and then policemen are going to try and jump on him. Brother Branham waves him back.
Right.
You know? Where Brother Branham said, love. Love came over him. It makes a difference. And so these attributes of God, they got to be somewhere besides just in Him. They got to be in His children. And that's what I want to leave with you tonight, to challenge you to know that no matter what your circumstances are, God wants to live through you. And He wants to live on a level and a plane that's beyond the lost of this world and beyond the means of this world, but into the realm of that only God can do. He's promised to share that with you. That's what makes you His children. Is that you have those attributes living in you also. You're going to live forever too, for throughout eternity, because you've got that eternal life in you that's part of Him. And so we know that and believe that. So Brother Ram tells us that when divine love is projected, sovereign grace will take its place and produce a thing that the love is projected, you know. And so he tells us in a sermon called Supersigned. Supersigned. Now think of all the gifts that Brother Branham had in his life. The ability to do. He said, and all I know, if I had all of God's gifts in a great big place that I could go in and receive any gift that I wished, I would accept love above any of them. I'd rather have love than all the gifts that God has. Because where there's tongues, they shall cease, and where there's prophecy, they shall fail, and when it's love, it endures forever. And I think about it. Here's a man that the angel of the Lord was with him all the time. He had daily conversations, and was this pillar of fire on the platform with him all the night, went around the world, the dead raised, all these things. It's irrefutable. People can argue about it if they want to, but hey, I know people personally that was there and seen these things. Now all those gifts and all that ability, and he said, having experienced all that and seen all that work through his life, and he said, but I'd rather have love.
That's
right. So if his ministry awes you, then let's listen to what he said. Love's better. Love is greater. And I've quoted before where he said, and all these gifts, we thank God for them, but if they're not operated by love, they're no good. Right? And that's the thing. We want that attribute of God in us, the love of God. And I'll tell you, I'm not there yet. Right? And I think you would probably say that too. But that's the challenge. So, if you want to do something that'll last, if you want to do something that'll make a difference in the lives of people, then if you want to be remembered by people when you're gone, not so much that's what you want, but the way you do that is you make an impact on their life. And if you want to be remembered while you're gone, if you want, then do something that will last, and that is love. The love of God. And it may just be that God will give to you over there some of those people who've done you wrong, and you express Christ back to them like He did when we weren't good to Him. It may be that He might give some of them to you if you just express Christ to them. It might make a difference in their life. It might make them make a choice. And that's what happened. He was a Christ to a world that didn't love Him, and He gained some by doing it. And He just might do that. The people you work with, the people who, listen, people know. They know whether you're genuine or not. And though they may never tell you, they know down inside that man's real or that woman's real. And it just might be that God will give them to you on that other side somehow, some way. If nothing else, just by them doing something good for you. So this is not about all the struggles of this life. This is about that realm and taking as many as you can with you to that realm. And I know, you know, if you're not ordained to be there, you won't be there. But these avenues and these things are in God's Word. He did it. He's expressed it to us. And we want to go with it too and live these things too. So may the Lord bless you tonight. We'll leave those with you, the attributes of God. You've been a good congregation to listen tonight. So let's just pray just for a moment. Our hearts, our most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be able to look into your Word, Lord, and to speak on these things and just to soar in the heavenlies tonight. Realize, God, that these things are tremendous. They're just beyond what this world can comprehend. And Lord, it's beyond just us and our own intellectual thinking, how these things are. But we see them in your Word, and we've seen them expressed in this day through your prophet. And we know your Holy Spirit is wooing us in the direction of having the manifestation of these things in our lives in a complete form. And so, Lord, we just say, here we are. We're asking God that you continue to move us further down the road, that when the time comes in our life to express these things, Lord, they'll be there on full display, full mature levels. We love you, Lord, and we're just asking that you commit these things to each one and hear this sermon and just touch their lives. Lord, just we want to just ask again that you touch those that are sick, the request that we had just a little while ago, the Brother Tim and his wife, Joanna, and Sister Leona, and Sister Vicki. And just ask God that you just help them. And as Brother Daniel said, just put these things behind us, Lord, and help us to begin to express the victory of God in everyday life as this world is so much in need. We just ask, Lord, that you do these things. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll try to sing the song again as we're dismissed. The number, but you are great.
You deserve the glory. Praise.